Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien. Welcome to the Retirement Life and Investing Show with your host, me, Dennis O'Brien, owner and president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut, off exit 90, down from the Steak Loft here on 94.9 FM News Radio Now. Hope everybody's doing well, and it's supposed to sun up a little later in the day, so just get through this last batch of rain and whatnot. And wow, what a week. I mean, I'm bloodied, I'm bruised, I've been beat up, but we're hanging in there. Of course, I'm talking about the markets, not literally a physical confrontation, but let's hope it never comes to that. But I'm totally speechless, guys. I spent the afternoon yesterday reading the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meetings, the last few meetings, and I've come to the conclusion that we have morons running the Federal Reserve. Yes, morons. If we have academic staff telling politicians how to run our economy... And did you know that Grinch Powell, the chair, is a lawyer, not an economist? They have no idea what they're doing, and let me explain why I think this, okay? They have raised rates 8 times since Trump was elected, after leaving rates very, very low for a long time because the economy under Obama was, his policies were anti-growth, anti-capitalism. So immediately after Trump is elected, they started normalizing rates. So what the heck does that mean? Well, anyway, under much better fiscal tax policy and fiscal policy, the economy strengthens and the Fed keeps raising. In the minutes, the Fed keeps referring to current or look-back economic conditions. They're steering the car by looking in the rearview mirror, and their policy adjustments take a year to take effect. So when they started raising rates a year ago, it takes a year to work its way through. Okay? But they're raising the rates, okay, but they are not waiting for the effects of the rate increases. And when I read the minutes of the Federal Open Market Committee meetings, they're basically saying, well, we're looking at current economic conditions, which is look back, by the way, and everything's still strong, so we're going to raise the rates again, okay? Here's the good part. There's only one indicator that looks a year out. Does anybody know what that is? Let me give you a hint. It's been crashing. Yes, it's the stock market. 4 weeks before the midterms, they raise rates again, but two of the voting members object because the yield curve is flattening, which tells them that previous increases are taking hold and inflation's being contained. Okay? Unfortunately, the others overrule them in late September, early October, and the stock market then flashes a warning. Do they listen? If you go to my website, listen to my show that week, I called them idiots, which I thought I was being a little rough on them, for ignoring the greatest indicator of all, the stock market. So you have two members of the open market committee meetings objecting to the rate increase before this one, back in late September, early October. Okay. Then the stock market starts getting belly. What do they do? What did they do last week? They raise the rates again. Okay. So they're ignoring the greatest forward indicator that they have. They're ignoring two of their members. Okay. So President Trump, who's no dummy and knows the economy, warns them to pay attention to the markets. So do they listen? No, they raise rates again. But this time, unanimously. How can this be? You had two members voting against it in late September, early October. And all of a sudden, this meeting, where the stock market's getting creamed, they raise the rates again and it's unanimously? Why would two objectors change their vote after they were proven right? Were they bribed? Were they threatened? What the heck is going on here? Well, when you read the minutes, it all becomes apparent. It turns out the Fed Open Market Committee meeting rotates their voting members versus their non-voting at-large members. So what do you know? The two that voted against the raising of rates in October were left out of the voting this time. The two members of the Open Market Committee meeting that voted against raising rates were left off the voting committee this time. Makes you wonder. And I don't think I've heard this anywhere else. I actually had to go in and took a few hours and actually read this stuff. Let me tell you something. It is not fun reading. But when I saw that, I went, it really does make you wonder, what the heck is going on? In my view, it's a huge policy blunder by the Fed. And many people are going to make the mistake of selling their stocks at the worst time. My job is to make sure that doesn't happen. My advice to all of you is stay the course, because it's going to become pretty apparent that the Fed is as political as anyone down there in the swamp or whatever they call it. Okay, let's change subjects for a minute, because it is a little depressing 2 days or 3 days before Christmas. Last week we talked about how many custodians of IRAs and pensions and whatnot were caught by surprise by the state of Connecticut mandating a 6.99% withholding if a state form was not submitted. Well, this ticked me off, okay? And the lady that called last week really got me thinking. So what I did was I went to the Department of Revenue Services site. I printed out a bunch of these forms, which is right in front of me. It's called Form CT-W4P. It's a withholding certificate for pension or annuity payments. A lot of you have gotten smaller checks since October, because if you didn't fill out this stupid form by the state, okay, and give it to your custodian, whoever has the monies that are being sent to you, all right, they were mandated to go to the max withholding. So if you were having 2 or 3% payout, all of a sudden 6.997% was being withheld. And for some of you, you needed that money. You were depending on that couple of $100 extra a month. All right? So that ticked me off. So I went to the site. I printed out a bunch of them. If you call me or email me or go to my website and say, Den, send me that form, or can I come in and fill it out with you? Not only will I help you fill it out, I will get it, help you send it to the person, whoever's holding your pension or 401k or your IRA, that's sending you monthly checks, even if you're not a client. And the reason I'll do this is because nobody is going to take the time to do it, all right? But I will do it for you, even if you're not a client, because that's the way we are. We want to do the right thing at all times, okay? So I will help you in this matter. And you are under absolutely no obligation to me, okay? If you decide you like me and you want to transfer the account to me, that's great. But you're under absolutely no obligation to do so. So please keep that in mind. If you want to reach me during the week, you can go to obrienretire.com, or you can call me at the office, 860-415-9614. If you'd like to schedule an appointment, we never charge for meeting with us and getting your retirement in a nutshell cash flow report estimates to you as you're in retirement or facing or looking at retirement. So in any case, come back in a few minutes. We'll get that retirement 10 commandments to you if you'd like also. Be back in a few. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, welcome to the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 FM. My office is off at exit 90 in the Taylor Realty Building down from Steak Loft. So if any of you want to stop over, it's easy to get to on and off the highway. I'm more than happy, love to meet you and whatnot. So anyway, we were talking about the Federal Reserve, and I'm trying not to yell into the mic, but I could very easily get aggravated because it's just stupidity. It's absolutely stupidity. And when I started reading Powell's background as Federal Reserve Chairman, you know, was an investment banker with Dylan Reed. He must have worked with Felix Rohatyn, who was a big Washington, New York back and forth guy. And, you know, he's got a net worth of $112 million, so he did something right down the line. But he's not an economist. And the staff, you know, half the staff, they're academics, you know. And they're writing these reports, and they're doing all this look-back stuff. And when you increase rates 8 times in a year and a half, you don't think that's not going to have an effect? And once again, and you know, it makes me suspicious because the working man in this country and working woman in this country haven't gotten a raise in 15 years. Finally, Trump's got things going. He's put up some tariffs so they can bring manufacturing home. He gets the economy going again. These guys now get little raises, maybe up to 3% this year. And the Fed thinks that's threatening our economic conditions. So they're going to lower all our 401ks and IRAs because the working man may get an increase. It's absolutely ridiculous. Because you know and I know, robotics is going to replace all the truck drivers. Artificial intelligence is going to replace half the programmers out there. Okay? I mean, I look at this place. We're running 5 radio stations. They have this automated. All right? A lot of jobs are going to disappear. There's no inflation. Technology is going to take care of all of that. Okay? There is no inflation. It's BS. Okay? And for the Fed to come in and use the old playbook like nothing has changed in the last 30 years is absolutely ridiculous. Okay? So interest rates are starting to come down in the long end. So those mortgage rates, they're going to start creeping down because the Fed's too tight. Okay? So these income stocks and ETFs that I love to buy you, okay, they're having a sale right now. The yields have gone up because the prices have come down. The cash flow hasn't changed, but the prices come down. You're buying the cash flow at a cheaper price, raising your yield. So, you know, some of these REITs and oil and gas, MLP, publicly traded ETFs, they're totally liquid, are cheap. Some of the closed-end bond funds have come down in price just because of the Fed, and the yields are tremendous on some of those things. Okay? So, you know, they're on sale, guys, so take a look. Let me know if you're interested. You know, I can't. Depending on your investment objectives, it's up to you, but you might want to take a look. Now, I had stopped buying the millennial stocks, you know, the Facebooks and Amazon. I had stopped buying them back in May or June because they were getting really frothy, you know. But guess what? They are way, way, way down. I mean, you look at Amazon, got over 2,000. Now you can buy it in the 1,400s. Facebook got to 217. Now you can buy it in the 130s, wherever, maybe the high 120s. They're not going to stay down, guys. These are just dominant companies. Apple, all these companies are dominant. And now we've had the big correction because the Fed's a bunch of morons. So take advantage of it. Buy some growth. If you look at the fund college, buy some growth. Okay? And the last thing you should do is sell them at these prices just because they're having a sale. So I'm starting to get very, very interested in them, okay? Remember, companies, especially the great ones, have a valuation that goes up over time. The stock market's a marking mechanism, okay? Sometimes it's overvaluing a company because it's way over what, you know, the real price is of a company. We call it intrinsic value, okay? Your intrinsic value is what the company is worth fairly marketed. So you have a company like Apple, okay? And I look at the cash flow, you discount the cash flows back, and you put in a growth rate, and you say, okay, Apple's valuation should be 200. And I'm just making this up right now, okay? So Apple goes from 232 at the peak, goes down to, say, 157, okay? The stock market's marking the price on day-to-day stuff, okay? The intrinsic value of the company, the business itself, doesn't change, okay? The smart ones ignore the marking mechanism only to the degree where they know from experience that the market will overvalue, undervalue. And they know what the intrinsic value is, And they know that when it gets way too below that intrinsic value of the company, okay, they know their risk reward is very, very good. Okay. So sometimes you'll see me buy a company that's been beaten down, it'll go down more, but I really don't care because my intrinsic value number is way above what I'm paying right now. So I don't buy a stock without running the discounted cash flow on it. And I have an intrinsic value on 8,000 companies, okay? And I only care about maybe a couple hundred of them because the rest of them don't have what I'm looking for, okay? But out of that 200, I have the intrinsic values, and I'm watching when they get way over or way under, okay? And if I like the business itself, okay, I'm interested in the business, not the markup, markdown, day-to-day stock market stuff. I'm interested in the intrinsic value of that business. And if I like that business, okay, if I can see it get down way below its intrinsic value, I'm very, very interested in purchasing that. Now, the very, very smart guys out there, you know, the big, big billionaire, big hitters, they do this all day and they understand it. Okay, so just be very, very, very aware of it. And I always think back to Mr. Kellogg. I've told the story before. Mr. Kellogg was one of the principals of Spear, Leeds, and Kellogg, a very good old-fashioned firm. Now, the Fed raised rates very aggressively in 86, 87, caused the crash of 87, okay? The markets went into a funk. They bounced back and forth. So in 90, 91, all the regional brokerages, Advest, across the board, around the country, these were good regional firms with good relationships. They were down in the dumps. Some of these normally $20 stocks were trading at 2 or 3. And I noticed Mr. Kellogg was buying them. 90, 91, nobody cared about them. And he was just buying 7 or 8 of them, taking positions in them slowly, methodically. He was taking positions in them. And I was still a younger man at the time, and I called him up. And I said, Mr. Kellogg, why are you buying these regional brokerage companies? They're in the dumps. Nobody wants them. Some of them rumored to go bankrupt. Why are you buying these? And as he hesitated for 5 or 10 seconds, he said, demographics. I go, what do you mean? He goes, the average baby boomer born between 46 and 1964 is approaching 40, and they're going to start putting money away. And he goes, guess what? He goes, they're going to start opening accounts, investment accounts. And eventually the market will start to perk up again. But he goes, over time, these baby boomers in 1991 are going to become investors and they're really going to help the market surge because it's a huge group. And that's what I think will happen. And wouldn't you know, that son of a gun, 2000, 2001, those $2 or $3 stocks were trading at 30, 35. When he was buying them, everybody hated them. And when he was selling them, they all loved them. Okay? Because he knew that eventually tens of millions of new investors were going to drive up the prices of some of these companies, and he was right. And so the other story I have for you is McDonald's. We had the big 9/11 incident, the market. The Fed had been raising rates. The market double-topped in 2000. Everything went down, 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 including McDonald's. So I was looking at McDonald's. It was, you know, it was a $40, $50 stock trading at 20. I knew the real estate alone back in 2002 was worth more than the stock price was at. So I called a lot of people, said, you know, I want to take a look at McDonald's and everything else. I bought 1,000 shares for a guy at 21. It immediately went down to 16. And I was a moron. He yelled at me, you know, and I said, oh, just wait. Just be patient, right? We recently sold the stock at 170-something, okay? And he said, how'd you know? And I said, I just knew the intrinsic value of McDonald's was much, much higher than it was trading at. And I knew that if the management got their act together, the stock could do very well. How high it goes and when it does it, I do not know. All I know is intrinsic values, and if I look at the value of that company, I knew it was just very, very low compared to where it was. So this time, the reason I'm telling you those two stories is if you invest with the current headlines, or you're looking at what everyone else says, or you want immediate satisfaction, you're going to fail. Because that's the trading, the hare versus the tortoise, the hare, immediate, wants it now. You're going to fail. You'll fail in your spending, you'll fail in your savings, and you'll fail in your investing if you think that way. Okay? So please be systematic. If anything, raise what you're putting into your joint investment account right now or your single investment account. Raise it because we're having a sale. So be smart about it because eventually even the morons at the Fed will realize maybe they made a policy mistake. Okay? And I'd love to have one come on and ask them a million questions. The young pretty thing asked Powell at the thing. He goes, why are you raising rates when inflation rate is still marking under 2%? Why are you raising rates? He hemmed and hawed and talked about this and the economy and how strong it is and blah, blah, blah. And she just looked at him and shook her head. And she looked like she was all of 28. And she was the smartest person in the room as far as I was concerned because she actually asked him the one question he couldn't answer. And he didn't answer it. He hemmed and hawed. He had no answer for him because he's being told what to do by staff or whatever. He's not really thinking it out. If you like my retirement 10 commandments or like to set up an appointment to review your stuff and make sure you don't make a mistake, please call me or go to my website, obrienretire.com, and hit the magic button, and we'll get an appointment for you to review everything. And if you have any questions, call in today. No problem, 860-464-9490. More than happy to chat with you. Be back in a few. Thanks. To the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, your host, me. It sounds weird to say me. It sounds selfish, but I don't know. That's what it is. Welcome 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well, and welcome back. And house prices in Connecticut remain subdued. So if you bought years ago, try to pay off the mortgage as you approach retirement. I see a lot of people come in. We do the Retirement 10 Commandments. They've done good with their credit cards. They've done good with their car loans. You know, they might have some. But usually the main debt is the house. Okay? So if you're 48, 58, 68, you want to retire. And I said, yes, I did say 68 because a lot of you are working at 68. Sometimes because you want to. Okay? You need to get the house paid off. Okay? Or downsized to pay off the mortgage and simplify your life. Okay? So it's one of the rules, one of the Retirement 10 Commandments. So I think it's number 2 after getting your retirement in a nutshell plan done. Okay? But it's a big deal. So you want to get that done. And some of you look shocked when I say it. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to get a tax deduction anymore? Let me tell you about tax deductions. You're paying $2,500 on your month on your house with taxes and insurance, and you pay that off. That's like having another pension payment for $2,500. Because if you're not paying it, you're keeping it, okay? So it's like getting a pension payment. And many times when I explain that in the office, I see the light go on, you know, the light go on going, that's right, that's a good way to look at it. So earn another pension payment, pay off your house, all right? And I've talked to many of you about it, and once you two decide, husband and wife usually sit there together, and once you do decide to do it, I see the look in your eyes like, okay, that's our next goal. And it's amazing what you can do when you work together and have a goal like that, okay? And many of you will come back saying, we paid it off. What a relief. What a relief. It's like life is much better, you know? Dave Ramsey says you're walking on air when you have no debt, you know? It's just life is better. You just feel better about everything. So please, pay off the house. Many of you have paid the house off, and you're shaking your head up and down. Yep, he's right. You know, so IMU smart ones telling the ones that haven't gotten to that stage yet, this is what to do. Okay, so that's part of it. So now if you're buying a house, you know, just got married, you're going to have a baby, you're going to form a household, you've been renting, but you're going to buy a house. Please buy a house and get a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year mortgage. I know the payment's higher. I get it. I know you can't buy as much house. But if you get a 15-year mortgage and you're 30 years old, that house will be paid off at 45 years old. Okay? All right? See, so you come into my office and you'll be like, hey, Dan, I got a 15-year and it's done. And I'll go, good. Now you got to pay for college. You know? But that's okay. That's okay. Or you can trade up or whatever, but you have a lot more flexibility. So get a 15-year, suck it up, buy a little smaller house, and wants to pay all that heat anyway, and get your equity built up because, you know, early on that 30-year mortgage, 98% of that payment is interest. You know, if you want to be shocked into how the banks work, when you go to get a mortgage, just go to Mortgage Doctor or one of those sites and run an amortization table. You know, an amortization table just lists all your payments. Say it's a 30-year mortgage, so you get 30 years times 12. It's 360 payments, right? You will be shocked in the first 5 years how little of the house you pay off, because as amortization goes, you're paying all interest and no principal. Run the numbers. It's so easy to do now on the internet, all right? Or as your friendly banker, but he'll just tell you to go to the internet too. So go to Mortgage Doctor, one of those sites, print out your amortization table, and you will be shocked. If you run the 15-year amortization table, right, 15 times 12, be half, be 180, right? You'll see, if you compare the two, your amortization table will show you that your principal, you're paying off, you're going to save tens and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, in interest if you get a 15-year versus a 30-year, okay? Okay, 15-year smart, 30-year dumb. 15-year smart, 30-year dumb. Okay? And I know a lot of you are out there going, that's right. That's right. I told you, boy. I told you. So just be aware of that, okay? Do not touch your 401k for the down payment and leave it alone for loans. This is one of the most abused things out there. Do not take a loan from your 401k. And if you got yourself in credit cards, get yourself out of credit card debt. And do it the right way by budgeting and planning, and stop doing it the easy way by hitting the 401k. Okay? Do not take a loan for your 401k to buy a car, depreciating asset. Okay? Do not do it because you got to pay it back. You got to pay it back in 5 years, so they take money out of your paycheck to do it. You'll get less pay in your paycheck. You'll start, you know, we won't be buying stocks when they're cheap like they're right now. Okay? And you'll be missing out, so don't do it. Common sense, pay off your credit cards every month. You know, you got to have a credit card. You want points, Southwest. I get it. I get it. I get it. Or you have a business and you want to be able to track all your expenses. Okay. Pay it off every month or twice a month. Don't let it build up. Pay it off, pay it off, pay it off. You pay any interest on a credit card. Okay. I want to have a little come to Jesus moment with you if you've done that. Okay. Do not carry balances. I'm surprised how many people in America carry balances. You can't pay cash for it. You put it on a credit card, you pay the cash then. But do not borrow at 18, 20, 22% for crap or whatever you're buying, okay? Because chances are it's a usable that you're just going to use up anyway, okay? Here's the controversial one. Do not get into big college debt. Do your local school. And then transfer while working to pay it off. There's no reason for anybody to be lining up $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 in college debt. I had a father come in with his two daughters. One daughter graduated 3 years ago from the Naval Academy. The other daughter's graduating next May from the Air Force Academy. I high-fived them both. They're both engineering majors, hard workers. I high-fived them both, and I go, you really... You ladies have both gotten $200,000 educations. And they looked at me and they go, believe me, we worked for it. I go, I know. And now you're going to serve. They go, yes, we are. And proudly. Okay. But, okay, if you can't get into a military or service academy, not many people can. Okay, never mind two girls from one family. Absolutely fantastic. All right. Parents are so proud of them, as they should be. Okay. Hats off to mom and dad. Okay. So, but do not get into big college debt. Now, many of the schools, you know, they're $40,000-$50,000 a year. They'll give you the price cut. They call it a scholarship. It's a price cut. So they'll cut it down to 2025 to keep you from going to UConn. Okay, they will, and you got to get a B average and everything else. So if that's in your budget, okay, and you can do it, fine. But if you can't, that's okay too. Okay, because let me tell you a little secret about college. Okay. After you get your first job, where you went to college does not matter. After you get your first job, that's what matters on your resume. As you go out there and try to get your second or third job, they'll just want to know you went to college, okay? But for the most part, they don't care where. They don't care what your grades were, unless you're going in a particular area where that might have mattered, like a teacher or something, okay? So please, please, please do not ring up big college debt. And if you're not academic, learn a trade or start your own company by buying equipment at auctions, okay? Do not let the CPA tell you you need to buy a new truck by the end of the year for the big tax write-off. Come to me and we'll give you a tax deduction on a SEP IRA, an asset hopefully will appreciate instead of depreciating like a truck, okay? A lot of these guys, they run out and they buy. I ran into a guy, he said he paid $70,000 for a truck in December. CPA told him he needed the tax deduction. I go, couldn't you just bought something used? He goes, yeah, but, you know, I like a nice truck. I go, $70,000 for a truck? Are you out of your mind? Call me old-fashioned. I know my age is showing, but it was a nice truck, but it wasn't that nice. And in 5 years, it's going to be worth about $28,000, right? Maybe 22? I don't know. So that's not smart. If you took that $70,000 and put in a SEP IRA, I don't think you can do that much. You're limited, but we could have figured something out. Maybe in 5 years, that thing is worth $150,000-$200,000, okay? So don't go backwards for tax reasons. Sometimes the CPA, he's thinking pretty narrowly, okay? And he's trying to please you or she's trying to please you. But maybe that's not the best advice for the big picture, net worth picture, okay? So just be aware of that sort of thing. If you like my Retirement 10 Commandments or you'd like to make an appointment, go to www.obrienretire.com. Or call my office at 860-415-9614. Talk to you in a few. Thanks. Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Boy, I've gotten better at saying that. I'm so happy. My name is Dennis O'Brien, and I am of the O'Brien clan in Mystic, Connecticut. And we had an addition to the clan. Little Harper Ann was born, I think a week ago, actually 8 days ago. And love that little granddaughter to death. She's just the apple of my eye, you know. I'm looking forward to playing with her. And she gets a little bit older and everything else. All right. So anyway, what do we do in this market environment? Well, start your monthly automatic savings through ACH withdrawals automated into a joint investment account if your 401k is already being done. Do not open your statements if it'll stress you out right now. Let it go. You'll be fine. Keep the stress level to a minimum. And speaking of stress, turn off your TV. Just listen to the radio. You like that, John Fuller? They love to hype you into making mistakes. Turn on Hallmark and relax. Laugh out loud. Hey, there's a video of a dad going through all the Hallmark movies, talking about, oh, now, this is how they do it. And he goes through, and it's the funniest video. If you get a chance, go to YouTube or Google and look it up. It's a freaking riot. It could have been me talking about it. Should I sell stocks if I'm retiring soon? No, adjust your stock allocation on strength, not weakness. It's too late now to sell, but be opportunistic on rallies to adjust your allocation. So if you're 92% in growth and you're retiring in a year, you kind of want to make sure you adjust it, but over time. Is General Dynamics undervalued? In my opinion, yes. But you're going to have to be disciplined and ignore the recent weakness and keep up your monthly purchases. So if you're in that SSIP and doing monthly purchases in there, I would keep doing it. And then if you got to start up in January, just keep going. Don't give up on it. It's just too good of a company. The intrinsic value of GD is much, much higher in my view. All right. But of course, it's based on your investment objectives and blah, 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 blah. How come Pfizer has not gone down much? Interesting when a company that gets back to basics after 15-year slumber, the stock has not been hyped up and is considered boring. I've started buying again in portfolios because their newfound research prowess. They have come out with a lot of approvals, 6 or 7 in the last 6 to 8 months, and looks like they're getting back to basics. What about gold or silver? The ETFs hardly went down recently, so the charts look good compared to everybody else. If you did not go down, you are a top performer. Okay? All right? So the charts look good for a small allocation. U.S. Treasuries have rallied on the fear factor. They will go higher if the market remains weak. So be aware of that. You can buy those ETFs too. Will the Fed wake up? Well, the conspiracy theorists will tell you that they want Trump to be a one-term president. There's another school of thought that the $22 trillion in debt needs to have low rates, and slowing the economy will keep rates low and not bankrupt the federal budget, crowding out other expenditures. I always follow the paranoid. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not watching you. So one of my favorite sayings, okay? So I'm keeping very high money market balances, especially with new accounts. I'm buying some income and some millennial, but slowly and cautiously. Great rewards go to those who are patient, my friends. Okay? And, U.S. stock prices reflect the growth in GDP and the standard of living. In 1968, the GDP of the U.S. was $862 billion. Today, it's nearly $21 trillion. 23 times greater. That represents a 6.5 compound annual growth rate. The Dow Jones in 68 was trading mostly in the 900s. It was also trading in the 900s in 1980. Okay. Went to sleep for, now it's close to, well, let's say 22 to 23,000. Okay. Einstein's right. It's all about the compounding. We expect growth in the U.S. during the next 50 years to exhibit the same trajectory. We would not be surprised due to rapidly advancing technology, improved healthcare, and greater inflation if economic growth accelerated. We would try to invest in companies that are growing at 15, not the 7% a year, the stock market and economy. And expect over the long term to continue to perform better if you buy those really great companies. Every 25 years, the standard of living doubles. A middle-class person now lives better than the wealthiest person on earth 100 years ago. Better health, better services. The average middle-class person today has a higher standard of living than Henry Ford, John Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, Henry Phipps, and Andrew Mellon 100 years ago. We are certain that the average middle-class person 100 years from now will enjoy a higher standard of living than Gates, Buffett, Zuckerberg, Musk, Bloomberg, Bezos, Soros, and Icon today, in large part because of their philanthropies. Okay? I don't know if I'd include Soros in there, but that's up to you. So anyway, these are some of the comments I took off of the Barron Investment comments that he wrote in his annual report. So these are some of the things that I hope everyone can take into account and help you just stay the patient, turn off the news, don't get it too excited, ignore the stock quotes and go about your life and do the things you need to do. I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoy the warmth of family and friends. We live in the greatest country in the history of the world and the greatest time in the history of the world. The technology is just incredible. These kids and this little grandbaby of mine, that she's going to grow up in a world that's very, very different than the world you and I or our parents grew up in. But it's going to be marked with longevity, increasing health. I think cancer will be conquered in the next 10 or 20 years. I think heart disease will go away. I love the fact that now these restaurants are having these locally sourced foods, so you can taste the freshness when you go into some of these wonderful restaurants that Dan Meisner's running in Mystic, you know, the Engine Room, Grass and Bone, the Water Street Club, or whatever it's called. I don't remember the name. I think this is just going to take off. The food's fresher. It's better. The vegetables are fresher. I think these kids are coming out with great ideas. They're going to come out with more and more great ideas. We invest heavily in our kids, and I think it comes back to us a thousandfold. I just think it's an amazing country. And we're able to talk to people all over the world now. You know, Facebook has 2.4 billion people, and they think it's going to double, you know, in the next 5 or 10 years. It's just incredible how the walls have been broken down. Artificial intelligence on Facebook, when my daughter-in-law, Agnes, who's from Hungary, her father will send me a message on Facebook and everything else, and I just, the artificial intelligence just translates the Hungarian to me. You know, sometimes it's a little rough. I don't know if he meant to say quite that, but it's the technology that's coming is just absolutely amazing. So don't be doom and gloom. We live in the greatest country in the world with the greatest freedoms. I know there's a lot of controversy about illegal immigration and everything else, but everybody wants to come to America. Why is that? Why is that? If you ask hardworking immigrants that have come to our country, my father was an immigrant. He worked. He raised six kids, and he worked his butt off. Hardest working man I ever saw. And he worked. But he said, Dan, when I was a little boy growing up on a little farm in Ireland, my father was gone for years working at a brewery in Birmingham, England. He says, I'd have to run the farms. He goes, 16, 18-hour days were nothing to him. He knew how to work. And he said, growing up, all you hear, this is very common in the 40s and 50s, the streets of America are paved with gold. Okay. Now, of course, he was saying physically, but I still think the streets of America are paved with gold, but the gold of ideas, of energy, of innovation. We are the gold standard. Everybody, even the Chinese who have made tons of money, do you think they trust their government not to confiscate everything? You know, there's a great dating site in China called Momo. 200 million Chinese on this site, and they have contests and everything else. It's really cool. But who would buy the stock if you're afraid the government, they ticked off the government, they could close it down the next day? The stock would go down. So the freedoms we have, the Chinese even want to come here. You know, California was booming because many of the Chinese were Vancouver. They wanted to get out. The pollution. They can't have the amount of babies they want to have. If they get on the wrong side of a local party official, they can disappear. Disappear. This is still our freedoms, okay? And our country is still the greatest country in the world. You can work hard. I've got 24-year-olds coming in my office who have saved $100,000 by working hard and being frugal. It just blows my mind how amazing this country can be. Don't listen to them. This is still by far the greatest country in the world. If you like to work. You don't like to work, you're not gonna do as well. That's just the way it is. I want to wish everybody a Merry, Merry Christmas. I hope everyone gets to enjoy the warmth of family and friends. And the abundance and freedom is a testament to those who have died for us and keep us free, as the Lord's birth and death will keep us in eternal life someday. I wish every one of you a wonderful and holy, holy Christmas. And thank you from my family to yours for listening and reaching out. I'm truly, truly blessed truly blessed to have wonderful clients, wonderful friends, wonderful family. And one of the things I stated when I started the company is I would never turn anybody away that needs help, no matter how much money you have. And I mean that from the very bottom of my heart. So to all of you, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Slow down. Take in a Hallmark movie. Go to the movies. Go have fun. Go bowling. Be silly. Tell stupid jokes. Try not to talk politics over the Christmas dinner, turkey, or whatever you have. And just have a great, great, great holiday. And refresh. Get refreshed. I think that's what I'm looking forward to. Take care, everyone, and have a wonderful week. Bye-bye now.